is where we're going to be at. And I'll try to just give you a couple nuggets real quickly here. 1 Kings 17, verse number 1. Let me get all hooked up here. Chris, I am technically challenged. I just want you to know that as well. So, I love Brother Lee. He's so quiet. You know, he's just got that spirit about him. He's just so, he's an introvert. He doesn't get up and talk much. And I appreciate that. It helps me. I think you and Brother Ken have got together this morning and stole my notes. So I'm done preaching. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good afternoon. Y'all kind of got some of my talking points, but that's okay. That kind of reinforces to me that that's what the Lord wanted us to talk about this morning. You know, as I'm thinking and study this morning, I was thinking about I've been saved some 27 years now, and in the years that I've been saved. And again, I'm in the working force, so I see a lot of different things going on as well. But and even some people that call themselves Christians, but the other comment is, well, yeah, but it's okay to have a social drink, or it's okay to be able to say a dirty joke because, you know, we're Christians and God's going to take care of that for us. And I just can't understand what's happened to the Christian morals and Christian definition that's gone on in the last 27 years. It just amazes me that people who call themselves Christians have just swaggered to the left. And I'm so appreciative of our church and what Brother Ken stands for and the preachers that have come through here that Brother Ken has allowed to preach behind this pulpit. I take it as an honor, but I also am humbled by the opportunity this morning. Real quickly, I'm going to give you a couple nuggets, and then we'll go into our regular church service. 1 Kings 17 and 1 is where we're at. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into our Sunday school lesson. Lord, again this morning, thank you for what we've already heard. Thank you for the good spirit. Lord, I thank you for who you are. You're real. And Lord, the world is looking for something that's real in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you'll, Lord, always let us remember, Lord, who we are and whose we are, that we've been bought with the blood of Christ. And Lord, that's the testimony that we should have in everything that we do. Use this words. Lord, help us, encourage us. We ask it in your name. Amen. 1 Kings 17 and 1. Let me read it to you. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Kind of the key focal point here. Let me give you a little background real quickly. And then I'll get into the lesson itself. What was going on here is we all have heard of Elijah, God's man for God's hour. Brother Ken got my notes this morning, but when he said that God's using him during this hour, and I am totally in agreement that God's using Ken Bowman and Liberty Baptist Church for this hour and this time. Elijah shows up on the scene here unannounced, unbeknownst to anybody. He comes over from a place called Gilead, which is more east of Samaria where this takes place at. Elijah's a rough, tough guy. He never went to seminary in Jerusalem. Lord used him during this period of time to be a God's man for God's hour. Understand what's going on here. You had the north, which was Israel, and you had the south, which was Judah. And during this period of time, you saw where Ahab and Jezebel come onto the scene. Now, Ahab was a god. He thought himself of a god. But Ahab himself had a dad whose name was Omri. And if you go back, because of lack of time, we won't get into it. But Omri was his dad who controlled the northern sections of Israel, more towards Phoenicia, that area there. Ahab, being the son, brought wrath upon Israel. Well, before Ahab and Jezebel were married, there was a prenuptial agreement, I guess you could call it. What it was basically a prearranged marriage between the two, between Jezebel and Ahab. And basically the agreement was, we want you two to be married, number one, so we can bring the teachings of Baal more south into Israel, and thus be able to turn Israel now into a community of Baal worshipers during this period of time. And so we see that. If you look in 1 Kings 16, you'll see a little bit about what it talks about here. 1 Kings 16, 30, 32, 33. Look at it in your Bible here. 16:30 And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Look at 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, king of Israel, to anger all the kings of Israel that were before him. 34. And in his days, well, we won't go into 34. It just continues and speaks about. So you see the relationship. I'm setting the stage here. You see the relationship between Ahab, Jezebel, bringing in Baal worship now into that northern area of Israel. And we saw the anger that went on during that period of time. But two things I want you to see real quickly is, first of all, how God, despite all that was going on, God is still in control. You know, if you had to put a title on this, I guess it was, despite the storms that are going on, God is still in control. There is so much unsettling in Christendom today. And I'm talking about true Christians that are standing up for the Lord, that are doing right, that are trying to walk the narrow path for God, that there's so much turbulence going on within our lives that we've lost the joy. Think about it. Personally, challenge yourself. Are you as on fire for the Lord today as you was when you first got saved? When you first accepted Christ, when all of a sudden that tears and snot and everything else is coming out of you, and you were just saying, I'm so thankful that the Lord has saved me, and you pick up a phone and call family and friends. Is that joy still there that was there some 5, 15, 25, 30, 50 years ago? We have become brittle, I guess would be a good word for me. We've become brittle in our relationship with the Lord. But God is still in control. God hasn't changed. It's us that have changed. It's us that have changed. You saw that was going on during this period of time. 17:1, Elijah talks about bringing a drought during this period of time. In 17:1, it says, "Be whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years, according to my word." We see that in going on in Israel during that period of time. But here's what happens. Look at 17, and I think this will be one of the nuggets. One of the challenges, as you guys have heard me up here before, I like to throw out a challenge, not just to you, but to myself as well. It helps me to understand a challenge when I see it. But look at how Elijah, despite the circumstance that he was in, the direction that he went in his life. Look at 17:1. It says, the D section. It says, but according to my word, look at 17:2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, look at number 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Look at 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him. That spirit that redirects us. And that's what Elijah was using as his basis, despite the situation that was going on, despite the brittleness that was going on, despite all odds against him. Here he was, God's man for that hour in a foreign country. But yet God still used him during that period of time. And why did God use him? Because he was cognizant to hear the word of God. He had cut off his AM station. He cut off Hannity. He cut off Neil Bortz. He cut off ESPN off his TV. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the Spirit of the Lord and let Him direct me. He had to get all the trash out of his life to be able to understand and listen to God's Word. He had a redirection of the Spirit in his life. And you know, if we want to get to that spot in our lives, we've got to get all the junk out of our lives. And just like we saw in 1, 3, 5, and 8, listen to the Word of God. Understand God's Word and God's Spirit in His life. How many of y'all are Alabama football? I'm not a college guy. Sorry, I'm an NFL pro. How many of y'all are Alabama fans? How many of y'all? Nice and high. If you're proud of it, nice. There you go. Look at you guys. There's your Alabama fans. You guys had a coach. He used to wear that hat. I forget, what was his name? Bear Bryant. I figured you probably know that. Bear Bryant. Now, I was watching something on ESPN. I just told you to get the trash out of your life. I was watching ESPN here several weeks ago, and they're talking about documentaries, and it said, what makes successful coaches successful? And it had Bear Bryant on it. We all know Bear Bryant, very successful coach. But one of the things that they talked about Bear Bryant was he had two mottos that he used. For incoming freshmen, he always had it on the wall when they first come in. The first one was focus on things that are important. Focus on things that are important. And the second motto that he had up on this board for incoming freshmen was this. It's the simple things that bring great victories. Two statements. Two statements that, you know, you would think coming from Bear Bryant there would be, you know, the skies would open up and the angels would sing hallelujah, and all of a sudden here's Bear Bryant coming into the room to these incoming freshmen. Two simple statements. But think about it from a spiritual sense. Focus on the things that are important. Focus on what's important. What's the most important thing in your life? Your car? Your 65-inch screen TV? Maybe that vacation home you've got somewhere? No. If I was to ask you what's the most important thing, or what's the thing that has the most value in your life, it should be our salvation through Jesus Christ in our lives. Everything else is not important, but that should be the most important thought. And that's what Bear Bryant said. He said, I would just want to redirect their focus to the simple things in life. What about in our life? We've got to get redirected through the Spirit of God to focus on what's directed in our lives. Coach Bear Bryant said this, too. The third thing he said was, I brought to surface what's within. Think about it. When he came on the scene, I forget what year it was, they said, but he came on the scene, and he didn't just clean house and bring all new ball players in, did he? When he came in, he had a class that was going to be a senior, a junior, a sophomore, and a freshman. So when he came in, he said, you know what I did? It was within that individual. I just had to bring it out of him. That's exactly what the Spirit of God does in our lives. We just kind of need a little bit of coaching, don't we? We just need some coaching in our lives to say, Holy Spirit, use me, whatever it may be, whatever, how small it may be, however minute it may be. Just take my life and use me so that people can see Christ living through my life. We just need some coaching. Just like Bear Bryant did, he said, keep focusing on the little things in our life. Look at Philippians 2:5. Let me help you through this. God's conditions presented. Look at God's conditions presented here through a refocusing of our lives. Philippians 2:5. I think we might have even talked about it a little bit this morning. Philippians 2:5. Verse of Scripture, I think I might have even used this before. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Remember, we talked about it one Sunday morning. I think it was on Sunday morning. I'm not sure. We talked about the process or the doctrine of kenosis. And what that is, it's a pouring out of one individual into another individual. The cups might be the same, okay? The liquids might be the same, but when I pour it from one into another, that same pouring enters into my life. That's exactly, that whole doctrine, that whole process of kenosis, or really it's ekenosis, is exactly what happens when we accepted Christ as personal Savior. That mind of Christ moved and flowed into us. So as Christ thinketh, we thinketh. We should be thinking just like the mind of Christ. And that's what Philippians 2:5 says. If you were to break it down even more, this is how the words break down. It says, keep on thinking this in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Keep on thinking this in you dominates our thinking. As we think through and we think with Christ living in us, it should dominate our thinking. We should no longer, here you go, do a checklist in your mind. We should no longer look at our own virtues. It's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about us, it's not about our agenda, it's not about our goals, it's about His goals through us in our lives. Number two, I want to defend my own right. No, we have no rights. It's only through Jesus Christ that we have the rights, through Him. Promote our own agenda. Promote our self-interest. Live for ourselves. Overcoming dryness in our lives. Those are things that if we ever want to get to that point in our lives, we want to bring back that joy of salvation, is to overcome that dryness, that brittleness in our lives. We have to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was a selfless mind, a sacrificial mind, and a serving mind. All three. I think when we ever get to that point, I think all of a sudden we will start having the mind of Christ in our lives. It'll overcome all those areas in our lives. Y'all have heard the acronym before, joy. How many of y'all have heard that acronym about joy? Jesus, others, yourself. You really want joy? How many of y'all want joy? I do. I don't want just happiness, because happiness, I can go out and buy a car, and we bought that 300. I was pretty cool for about a week. And all of a sudden, here comes a car payment in June. It's like, you know, I'm not as happy as I was 30 days ago when that car payment comes in. Or you look at your insurance, and you're paying this on an 02 Sable, and all of a sudden, you get the insurance on an 06 300, and you say, you know, that happiness is kind of wearing off a little bit. But do you really want joy? in your life. Put Jesus, others, and yourself. Lastly, somebody wrote here, Christ's attributes are not manifested, but produced. Christ, the attributes of Christ, the dealings of Christ are not manifested, but produced. It also said Christ's characteristics are not imitated, but inhabited. How many folks do you know that call themselves Christians and try to walk the Christian walk, and then outside are doing other things? Those are imitated Christianities. Those are imitated Christians. But a true Christian will have it inhabited in their life, and it'll show in their life, and in their walk, and in their talk. And so we see that. You want the mind of Christ? You have to be in Christ. Secondly, real quickly, what are the provisions? Go back to 1 Kings. Keep that spot marked there, and also keep Philippians marked real quick, too, because we're going to go back there. What about how God protected Elijah and took care of him during this period of time? 1 Kings 17:4, look at it. 1 Kings 74, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Two things I saw there is, wait a minute, it's during a drought. Remember we talked about when we read 17:1, it was during a drought and everything was drying up. So there was no water. But yet God provided, he gave providence to Elijah to have a brook set aside. What about in our lives? We think the walls are falling in on us, the sky is falling, but yet God is providing. He's still giving us providential care. He also used the ravens, which were a dirty bird, something you wouldn't even thought of during this period of time. But God took a miracle and provided the brook, and he also provided the ravens in his care for him. And secondly, thirdly, providential care when we're least expected. God gave him providential care when you least expect it. It's amazing when God shows up and all of a sudden something you weren't even expecting, God happens to be there and shows up with a blessing in our lives. That's called providential care. I think I have time. There was a young boy, and he just got out of Bible school, and he was looking for a job. And you know, today's day and age, it's hard to find jobs. Amen? It's tough to find jobs. And this boy, he had a degree in marketing, and he was ready to go out and get a job. And he walked by this Christian bookstore. And he walks by the Christian bookstore, and the sign that says, Bible salesman needed. Bible salesman needed. He said, you know what? I'm going to try that. I went to Bible school. I know what's going on. He walks in. Now, the only problem was this boy had a little bit of a stuttering problem. Okay? So he walks in. He says, sir, I want to get that job that you got there. It says, Bible salesman. And the guy looks at him and says, well, I don't know about this. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a shot. I'll put you on trial. I'll give you 5 Bibles. If you go out and sell those Bibles, I'll give you a job. The guy says, okay, thank you, sir. So he comes back about a half hour later. Bibles are gone. The guy looks at him and says, what'd you do with the Bibles? He says, I sold the Bibles, sir. He says, that's pretty impressive. He said, you sold those 5 Bibles? He said, I've never done that before. He said, I'll tell you what, you got the job. He said, here's 5 more Bibles, sell them. Guy comes out about 10 minutes later and they're gone. Not a Bible in his hand. Sold 10 Bibles in about 45 minutes. He says, that is very impressive, young man. He said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you 10 more Bibles. If you can sell these Bibles, I'm going to make you general manager of our Bible sales division. Half hour later, he comes back and he says, sir, I want that position that you talked about, manager. He says, son, how did you do it? In an hour, you sold 20 Bibles. How did you do it? Tell me your secret. He says, I've been doing this for 25 years. How did you do it? The young man says, sir, it's really easy, sir. He said, I just knock on the door and said, ma'am, would you like to buy a Bible, or can I just read it to you? You're going to buy a Bible at that point, ain't you? You don't want that stuttering guy to be sitting there reading that Bible to you. God will give us blessings when we least expect it in our lives. Amen? That's the way He works. He is in the blessing business. Amen? That's the way our God works. When you least expect it, He shows up and gives us a blessing and drops. And you know what? I'm not just talking about financial blessings. I'm just talking about a pat on the back from somebody that says, you know what? I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. It may be just an email that says, you know what? I don't know what you're going through. I've been thinking about you. I just want you to know that I care for you and I love you and I'm here for you. That's all it takes. Folks, I'm as busy as any of y'all. But I tell you what, we get so tied up with emails, Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not going to be on Facebook. I don't have time to do what I do now. Nothing against Facebook. I don't have time to do what I do now. Never mind taking care of it. We get so tied up with the mundane things of the world, like Bear Bryant said, focus on the simple things. We try to build this Christianity thing. It's a people business. It's a people business relating with each other, encouraging each other, helping each other. That's what it's all about. The church is not these four walls and these lights. It's us sitting right here worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can't get encouragement from each other, it ain't going to come from out there. It's not going to be from the world encouraging us. They're going to bring us down. We've got to encourage each other and help each other. It's a people business. And that's what we saw here during God's providential care, was taking care of His people. Real quickly, moving on. What time we got? We got 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. We're on Central Time, so I got 6 minutes. Real quickly. Uncertain prescription. What's the prescription? Go back real quickly to Philippians, if you would. Look at Philippians, verse 4, 8, and 9. Verse 4, 8, and 9. I'm going to close here. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Again, another verse of Scripture that we talked about. How can we have the mind of Christ in us? How can we have the mind in Christ in us? Look at it, 4, 8, and 9. Here's Brother Paul. Look at what he says here. You know, as I was thinking about this morning, the Lord gave me a nugget. He said, you know, the Apostle Paul was Dr. Phil before Dr. Phil was Dr. Phil. The Apostle Paul was Dr. Phil even before Dr. Phil thought about being Dr. Phil. Why is that? Look at it, what it talks about here. It talks about the mentalness of being a Christian. Look what he says here. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's Dr. Paul. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, are lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, that means if there be any gain, if there's something you're trying to gain during this period of time, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I looked up that word do. I tried to break it down. I love looking at words and finding the root words and seeing what they mean. You know what the word do means? Do. That's exactly right. See, we got two Greek scholars right here. Do. That's what it means. It says, look, are you having a tough time? Is the world crumbling around you? Look. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Do it. Do it. Paul's telling us, think about this. Don't think about the errors of your ways. Don't think about the credit cards. Don't think about everything coming in. Just do it. And then I'll close right here. Look at 4 and 9. We already talked about it. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. The peace of God shall be. That's the key word. Gerald, let me borrow you, buddy. Come here a second. Come here, Lee. Come here, Tim. Come over here. Here's what it talks about. Shall be with you. You break it down, it's military. Okay? How many of y'all been in the military? You know what it means when the captain says march, you just march, don't you? It says, these things ye shall do. Military word. It means to go forward. But when you look at it even further, it means to encamp. It means to circle around. It means to create a garrison. Or it talks about even to encircle and protect. So I got my guy here this way, and I got Lee over here this way. Come over here, buddy. And I got Tim this way, and Tim's going to face this way. And here's what it talks about. I am encircled. I am encircled. I am protected. Here comes that credit card that I think it was going to be. I hover down behind. Why? Because verse 9 says, God of peace. The God of peace encircles me. All of a sudden, here comes that phone call again. It's the C word from the doctor. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, but you got to come in tomorrow. It's more serious than we thought about. You know what? I ducked down because the God of peace is protecting me. All of a sudden, there's that phone call, 911. You better get to the hospital. We're not sure if he or she's going to make it. You know what happened? The God of peace protects me. Go to verse number 7. It's different. 9 said it's the God of peace, but you know what 7 says? The peace of God that passes all understanding. When that credit card comes, I'm still encircled. God is still protecting me, but you know what I have? A peace of God that I can't understand, but yet He's there with me. Why? Because verse number 9 says, the God of peace protects me, encircles me, creates a garrison, goes to war for me when I can't go to war for myself. Folks, if you're dry, if you're callous, if you're brittle, how are you going to get over that? Take verse 7, the peace of God that passes all understanding, and take verse 9, the God that protects us during those period of times. Thank you, guys. God can, God will, and God has in our lives. There's no telling how many times the providence of God protected us during the time when we didn't know what He was even hand was there. He protected us and made that car stop at that red light. We were eating out at Chinese the other day, and all of a sudden I'm driving out. This guy backs out, Karen says, Dwayne, I stopped. The peace of God, the presence of God, the provision of God protected me from hitting that guy in the back. That's what God does in our lives. That's a protection that we have in God's life. The God of peace is also the peace of God in our lives. And I thank Him for that. Mount up. The battle's coming. Stay in the battle in His will, and the day will not be bleak. Next time I'm going to talk to you about your hand. You've got five fingers. David had five stones. I'm going to give you a teaser. There was five stones that David used. We've got five fingers on our hand. A thumb, a second finger, a high finger, an index finger, and a pinky finger. I'm going to tell you about how we can use our hand to help us during those disruptive moments in our lives. Thank you, brother.